You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The concept of the unique davening, the unique Shemona Esrei Nusach, especially of Musaf, that we say on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, analysis of two phenomena. Number one, what is the chidush, the uniqueness of the special Nusach Tefillah the Chazal composed when it comes to the Rosh Hashanah Tefillah specifically? I'm talking about the Musaf Tefillah. Okay, that's question number one. Number two, what is the reason that the mitzvah Tekiyah Shofar, which quite obviously is a mitzvah enumerated as a separate mitzvah amongst the Tayag mitzvahs, why did Chazal make a linkage between the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar and the actual recitation of Tefillas Musaf we recite in the Rosh Hashanah prayer? In fact, we divide the Tekiyah Shofar into the different parts of the Shemona Esrei, the Tefillah of Musaf we recite on Rosh Hashanah. What's the connective link? Why do we even start before the Tefillas Musaf blowing the Tekiyah Shofar? What does Tekiyah Shofar Bechlal represent? Does it have a relationship to Tefillah? Or is it something that is in addition to the Tefillah? So let me formulate it with you now. So when you experience Rosh Hashanah in the next couple of days, I think you'll have a greater appreciation when you look at the words of the Tefillah, what we're saying, what we're davening, what the kavanas of our davening is, what the purpose of the Tekiyahs are, and hopefully I'll make your Rosh Hashanah a much more meaningful experience after my presentation this morning. So listen very carefully. If you look in the Nusach of the Tefillah of the Shemona Esrei, you find something very, very unusual in the way Chazal formulated the actual Nusach Tefillah that we recite when it comes to the davening on this specific Yom Tov. Besides, you know, talking about the actual Kedushas Hayom, which we are ultimately celebrating, the sanctity of the day of Rosh Hashanah as a special Yom Tov by itself, we do mention as well, interestingly, in the Shachris and the Musaf Davening, that after the Yom Tov is called the Mikra Kodesh, we also say it's a Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. Somehow there's a connection between Rosh Hashanah and Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the obvious question you got to ask yourself is, what in fact is the Kesher between them? We understand why Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim is mentioned in the davening on Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos, because the fact of the matter is Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim is the main theme, what Pesach's all about, the concept of the Cheiros Begafim Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sukkot was a continuation of our Cheiros of Mitzrayim. Shavuos Yom Tov was the completion of the Cheiros of Mitzrayim, where we were therefore taken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Aman Ivchar. And Chazal say Kabbalistic, a marriage ceremony took place between the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Chosin and Klai, so the Kala. And Hashem gave us the Luchas, which is the Kesef of Kedushin, and there was a Chuppah, all the Minhagim of our marriage ceremony today, a model after the marriage of Klai, so to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the fact we became the Aman Yivchar, and we were given Kedushas HaTorah, and Kedushas HaMitzvahs, and Kedushas Israel. So in all of these holidays, Pesach, Shabbos, Sukkot, we call the Shlosh Regalim, I understand why Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim is contained in that Nusach. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, what is the reason the Chazal superimposed in the Nusach of the Tefillah that even this Mikra Kodesh, this holy day Rosh Hashanah, is also a Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim? What reference of Yitzias Mitzrayim has an import or impact on the purpose of our davening, the tefillos and the shofar, everything we do on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah seems to also be somehow logically and theologically connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I wanted to share with you my first ha'ara on this question and show you that there is a major, major connection to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's based upon the following narrative. Listen to me very carefully. When Moshe accepted the shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Hashem's spokesman, to go to Paro and to tell Paro that Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim to worship in the Midbar, where he says, Shlach es ami v'yachugu li b'midbar, Paro had a very sharp response to Moshe's request. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to me. Mi Hashem, who in the world is this God? Chazal say at that point in time, Paro was Kofa Be'ika. He denied there's an existence of a God of Hashem Yisbarach in the world. Who is this God? Asha Eshmo es Kolo. You mean to think I'm going to listen to what this God is commanding you to tell me to do, etc., etc.? I believe your God, which you claim exists, knows what's going on down here below amongst human beings. Basically, he was denying the knowledge of God, or we call the divine omniscience, or Hashgacha Pratis of Hashem in this world. That was the second major kafira. And then, with chutzpah, Lo yadati es Hashem v'gam es Yisrael lo shaleach, I'm going to make the following statement. I don't know. I don't care about this God. I'm not going to send these people out. He was not afraid of God's omnipotence to punish somebody who doesn't listen to him. He didn't believe the concept of divine punishment or divine reward. If there's no such a God and he doesn't know what's going on, how could we be fearful of punishment or reward? So Chazal say very simply that the three kefiros of Paro was in the existence of God, in the knowledge of God, and the echolus, the divine powerfulness, the omnipotence of God. These are the three things that Paro rejected. And Chazal tells us the purpose of the Eser Makos and all the component parts was to disprove the kafira of Paro, that by the time these temakos are ultimately applied to the population center of Egypt in a 12-month period of time, this is going to serve as a theological lesson, teaching Paro and the Mitzrayim and all the great chachamim of the Egyptian empire and perhaps the world at large that they are wrong. That there is a God of Israel. There is a God. In fact, he is the only God. In fact, his great Chachamim said, Etzba Elokimi, there is a God of Israel that can do things that we cannot do. There is a concept of God of Israel having divine providence and omniscience of what's going on in the world below, what people do. He knows who's a Jew and who's an Egyptian, and who he has to punish and who he has to reward. They saw it with their own eyes in experiencing the Makos. And when it comes to omnipotence of God, the all-powerfulness of God, he created miracles that take place that are basically against the natural law. Water and fire can't coexist. And all of a sudden we have special divine rockets and missiles, Barad being sent against the Egyptian Empire, which had an outer core of frozen water and an inner core of burning hot fire coexisting as a missile to cause destruction in the various parts of the Egyptian Empire. There are things being done in natural law that are totally opposite natural law. He's able to take natural law, turn it inside out and outside in. So this God has omnipotence. The Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us, therefore, who the Rabbeinu Shalom is and what his knowledge is and what his powerfulness is. That was the major, major functionality of why Hashem took Klal Yisrael only out after 12 months of allowing Paro and the Mitzrayim to experience the Makos, to give him an education theologically of who the Rabbeinu Shalom is and his control of the world in which we live on every level. And after Paro and the Mitzrayim saw this, and they therefore succumbed to the divine power of Hashem, and they saw they can't stop anything he promised he's going to do against them, Paro just was literally frantic, ran out in the middle of the night searching for Moshe and Aaron and told them, I'm ready to let you go. You're no longer my servants. You're the servants of your God. And that was the miraculous power of what the miracles of the Mitzrayim did, the Makos, to teach Paro and his empire and the world at large. As we see when we sing the Az Yashir later on at the Amsuf, of who Hashem is and who Klal Yisrael is, where the fear and trepidation of the God of Israel and the children of Israel is exported to the entire world, to Dalek Kanfas Aretz. Now, with that in mind, Tamidim and Tamidos, we therefore see that the concepts of Yetzias Mitzrayim are more than just a Pesach and a Shavuos and a Sukkos concept. It applies to God's activities in the world at large, from the time of the creation of the universe, ex nihilo, yesh miayin, and the fact that God, when it comes to running the world, as we say in our davening, is mechadish b'chol yom tamid masa bereishis, God each and every day, with his divine button, continues the world's continued creation, each and every day of the year, 365 days of the year, Hashem is in control and making sure the world continues to flourish and to exist based upon his divine supervision and his divine control. So with this in mind and understanding the Hashkafas of Yetzias Mitzrayim, let us now go back to the concept of our Tfilos that we recite on Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, what we are trying to do is we're trying to understand not only does Rosh Hashanah represent the culmination of Brias HaOlam with the actual creation of mankind as being the final Makkah B'Patish, the final last piece of the creation of our world coming into existence. In fact, the world words that are used in the Shemona Esrei, Hayom Haras Olam, the world was finally created and born and came to existence on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Chodes Tishrei. But the same way God created the universe, the mass, diverse universe of the size that we now understand how big and immense this universe is, different galaxies. I mean, when you have the equipment we have today to be able to see as far as we're able to see, we realize how intense and vast this universe was. Something that the Kadmon, who didn't have this fancy types of telescopes, were not able to visually see with their eyes thousands and thousands of years ago. Today, we're able to see how vast and how expansive the universe is, and all different types of planets and stars and all different types of other types of suns that exist in this mass universe Hashem created in the beginning of Bria. So the day of creation of the universe, with man being the climax, which is on Chodesh Tishrei, the Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, it's also a day that God became, since he created the universe, the king of the universe. It was the day of Hashem's coronation as the Melech of the entire universe. It was a coronation service which we do on Rosh Hashanah. We are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech that created the universe and keeps it going continuously. If that's the case, the Nusach of the Shemona Esrei in the third Baruch already changes from HaKel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh. we're mentioning God as the King of the universe, not merely the divine power that's the power of creation and maintenance in the universe, but God's functionality as a king. And therefore, the concept of Malchus Hashem is a major theme that is ma'akev in the Shemoneh Esrei from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. If you say Hakel HaKadosh rather than HaMelech HaKadosh, you got to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei over again. Malchus is the theme. The Maluch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the theme that we are emphasizing on the Yontav of Rosh Hashanah. In fact, we have an interesting minhag. First of all, one of the reasons we blow the shofar is to celebrate the coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship on Rosh Hashanah. When kings were appointed in time of antiquity, they used to blow horns and shofaros to highlight the coronation of the king. Even in the whatever kingdoms are left of kings to this very day, the sounding of horns and trumpets at the actual inauguration of a king and a melucha is still celebrated in very similar fashion on the face of this earth. There's a minig that we have on Rosh Hashanah to do tashlich, to go to a flowing water, river, sea, brook or something that just has flowing water. And the reason we do this and say tefillos by this tashlich is in order to point out that if we're undergoing a coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, human kings, when they undergo coronation, have it done by a flowing river, a flowing body of water, as a siman tov, that their kingdom shall flow forward and continue to flow and flow based upon the siman tov being next to a flowing body of water. Lahavdo, when it comes to Hashem's melucha, we go to Tashuk to say that Hashem's melucha should continue to flow and flow and flow continuously when it comes to our ability to witness and to experience Hashem's malchus, not just during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but to experience the malchus of Kol Hashanah Kula. So we therefore see that the major theme of Rosh Hashanah is to highlight the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And shofar, in one of its purposes, is able to highlight that specific phenomenon. However, I want to point out a very important fact. When it comes to our theological relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos and later in his Mishneh Torah point out there are two important dimensions we have when it comes to our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the Sefer Mitzvos, he highlights that the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is the first of the Aseres Hadibros, the purpose of that mitzvah is to instill in us a belief in Amuna Elokis, that there exists a God in this world who controls everything, who sees everything, who is all-powerful, who has omniscience. Anayin Roya Oizen Shemas, he sees everything, he hears everything. All that we do is recorded in the divine book of remembrance above. That this concept of Amunah is one of the basics of the Tayag Mitzvahs. But the Rambam points out that for a Jew, Amunah Peshuta is just the beginning. Besides Amunah Peshuta, the Rambam says in the Mishnah Torah, a Jew has to take this to the next level. And that is developed not only Amuna Peshuta, but what he calls Yedias Elokim, a knowledge of God, a conceptual, philosophical, theological understanding of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and the component parts of the Ribbono Shel Olam's powers in this world, and the creativity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says this Yedias Elokim, in his Ksavim, whether it's in the Mishnah Torah, or it's contained in the Sefer Mitzvos, or in his Sefer, the Mor Nevuchim, contains three component parts. We have to discover the Rabbeinu Shem, who Hashem is, by analyzing all the parts of the Holy Torah Hashem gave us. When you analyze all the parts of the Torah the Rabbeinu Shem gave us, you see the amkus and the greatness and the oimek, the depth perception of the brilliant mind of the Rabbeinu Shem creating us the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shelapeh, that have Shivan Panim LaTorah, such a depth perception in the Nigla of the Torah, in the Nist and the Kabbalistic concepts of the Torah. When you see the Amkus and the greatness of the Torah, you develop a better awareness, the idea of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's number one. Process number two, look at the natural world in which we live. Look at the laws of nature that Hashem created at the time of Briat Olam. The natural law. Understand the sciences of the chemistry of this natural law and the biological phenomenon and the concepts of the chemistry of the world and the concept of the astronomical phenomenon of the planets of the universe. The physics, the laws of physics, the God, the Lord of natures, are what basically is the reason how the world functions the way it functions in all its different component parts. Look at the animal kingdom he created, the incredible amount of animals, each unique and distinct. Look at the formation of the earth, how it was created in such a way it can sustain human life, where other planets in the universe are not capable of as such. The way the earth was created and its positioning away from the sun, not too near, but not too far, creating the ideal conditions for human existence to exist in our planet, where it cannot exist in any planet that's closer to the sun, can exist in any planet that's further away than the earth from the sun. There's a total chachmas elokim, how the body of our body works, while all the organs work together in unison to maintain life. All of this is the Chachmas Hashem when it comes to the sciences of creation, of all the creatures of creation, animate and inanimate. Marabu Masach Shem Kulam B'Chachmas Yisim O'aretz Kinyanecha, the statement of a David HaMelech. When I see the Maisa Etzpasecha, the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch and his creativity, you see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch. You get another idea in who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in his omnipotent powers. He can create nature and change nature according to his will. And the third medium of coming to know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is studying human history, world history, and Jewish history. The ability for a Klal Yisrael, who are the smallest of the nations on the face of this earth, to survive thousands and thousands of years, and the ability to survive all different types of anti-Semitic attacks upon the people of the Jewish people, to be able to survive attempts to commit genocide against the Jewish people. Unfortunately, we experienced this not too many years ago during the Holocaust. Germans, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, what they tried to do, what they tried to organize. And the Arabs, as our salvation points out, have tried to continue this process to this very day. The fact of the matter is, Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis is divine supervision of the world at large, and specifically of the Jewish people, that we can say in the Haggadah, Shebechol dar v'dar oimdem aleinu l'chalaseinu v'hakadosh baruch hu matzileinu mi'odam, Hashem saves us continuously. In the bris of Bein HaBazor, Hashem promised us indestructibility as a Jewish people. We can never be destroyed. And we function l'mayla mi'derech ha'teva. All these promises of Jewish history, that Jewish history brings to the fore. You see the knowledge of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You understand the not only belief in God, the knowledge of God, but you understand the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How great he is in his kingship and his leadership and his ability to control ultimately the entire universe, that is the creation of his fingertips, that everything should work in harmony when it comes to the universe continuing to exist. When you think of all of this, and we come to the Musaf davening, we daven, the unique Shemona Esrei, our Musaf that we daven, when it comes to the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, we see that the seven brachos of tefillah we recite on Yom Tov has now been extended, that we have nine brachos. And these nine brachos are called the three extra that are put into the formula, are called the brachos of Malchios, of the kingship of Hashem, the bracha of Zichronos, the remembrances, the knowledge that Hashem has of what we do every day and what we've done for hundreds and thousands of years, the Yedias Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his omniscience, and the Shofros Bracha that deals with God's omnipotence. That omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you feel, his all-powerfulness. In history, he has demonstrated nations that tried to destroy us are ultimately destroyed. Nations that support us are able to continue and flourish because they're supporting the Jewish people and their Torah and show reverence to their God. Those nations that tried to take us down and take our Torah down and make a war with God, they no longer exist on the face of this earth as an empire. They're in the dustbin of history. The Musaf of Tefillah therefore gives us the ability to relive the concepts that were taught to us by the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Malchus therefore teaches us the Metzias Hashem, the existence of a Melech of God, the unique existence of only one Melech, only one God that exists, as I'll show you the Nusach HaTfilah. The concept of Zichronos teaches us, as we saw by Mitzrayim, the concept of God's ability to have divine providence, knowledge of what's going on in this world, in each and every country, in each and every group of people that live in that country, in each and every individual what's going on in their daily life. Very intense divine providence. I mentioned before, Ayin Raya Oizen Shemas, Komasech V'Sefer Nichtavim. And the Shofros tell us about the omnipotence, the divine all-powerfulness of God that's been demonstrated continuously through the historical record I mentioned before.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
If that's the case, when we are therefore, quite obviously, davening the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our knowledge of that Malchus of the various mechanisms I mentioned before, takes us to a higher level of recognition of Hashem's Malchus as we do an analysis and a research and a reevaluation of the experiences of thousands of years from Bryas Olam to the present. When we say we're talking about Hashem's Malucha, the Hashem being the Melech and the coronation and the anniversary of the Bria of the universe, Hashem becoming the Melech of the universe he created. These tefillos we recite and the brachas we recite serve as a source of our knowledge, our analysis, and comprehension of what we're talking about and who we're talking about and how we're supposed to act as human beings as we experience these narratives we daven and we say and we recite in our holy tefillos on Rosh Hashanah. But on Rosh Hashanah, we don't only daven. It's a Yom Teruah. It's a day of Zichron Teruah. There's a mitzvah deraisa to blow the shofar on this day of Rosh Hashanah. There's a reason that we also blow the shofar in conjunction with the Shemona Esrei of Musaf, when we recite the Malchios and the Zichronos and the Shofros. So we want to now analyze what is the purpose of Tekiyah Shofar. How does that relate and enhance the davening of the Shemona Esrei and the tefillos we recite on this specific day? It's a known fact that Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a whole piece on giving a whole bunch of different reasons why the blowing of the shofar was mandated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take place on the holy Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. And I want to share with you some of his perspectives to be able to give you a full understanding of what we're trying to do and accomplish on Rosh Hashanah. So listen very carefully as I portray to you various reasons he quotes and the Rambam quotes, another Rishonim quote, in the tachlis behind the blowing of the shofar, the way we blow it, the 100 kelis, some blowing before we start the musaf, called tkiyas de meyushev. The other tkiyas we blow during the Shemoneh Esrei, called the tkiyas de meumet. Listen carefully for the reasons of blowing the shofar. Number one, the Rambam himself says in the third perek of Hilchos Teshuva, what is the reason we start blowing the shofar? In fact, we even start blowing the shofar earlier, every day during the time of Slichas, starting from the beginning of recitation of Slichas, and the whole concept of Chodesh Elul, the month of introspection, we start reciting ultimately special tefillos will cover this period of time. So the Rambam says in the third parak of Hilchos Teshuva that even though Tekiyas Shofar is a gzeiros hakasuv, it's a divine mandate of God, there is a message contained in it. And what's the message? Uru Yesheinu Mishinaschem V'nirdamim Hikitzu Mitimaschem. We have to wake up from our sleepy activities the whole year round. We don't focus necessarily on the intensity of the relationship we're supposed to have between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and between ourselves and the mitzvahs of the Torah Hashem gave us. Chipsu Ma'aseichem. Analyze your deeds of the past year. Chazru B'tshuva. Do repentance and return to God. Zichu Barachem, take into cognizance who is your creator, who brought this world into existence. It's a wake-up call. It's a call to action. And therefore, you have to realize, you have to listen to these kolos, listen to the wake-up call of the shofar itself, and realize you have a responsibility to act in a positive way, to start correcting yourself in your daily activities, making them more infused with Torah mitzvahs, highlighting and elevating your spirituality, giving more tzedakah, performing more ma'asim tovim. All of this is the purpose of the arousal that's accomplished, the Rambam says, by the mere blowing of the shofar. It allows you to cause yourself to undergo a mood of little being aroused. Now, as we continue, just bear with me a second, as we continue in this, we then come to the next important factor, and that is the following. Just bear with me a second. Okay, we come to the next factor, and that is the following. Besides being a call of awakening, the blowing of the shofar, as I mentioned before, is a way that we are proclaiming the coronation activity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech, the King of the universe, that He is our King, the King of the entire universe in which we live. And therefore, like a human coronation of a melech, you blow horns and make sounds to make this announcement. We do this by the blowing of the shofar as well, together with the tashlich service, as I mentioned before. That's purpose number two of blowing the shofar, a coronation. Then another purpose of blowing the shofar. to tell us we're holding in a Zman of Din, of divine judgment. There are books that are being opened in Shemaim concerning what's going to be the history of our future. What's going to happen to us and our Mishpacha members and all of Klal Yisrael and the world at large in the coming year. The whole world is undergoing divine judgment. And therefore we have to be Mavakish Makadosh Baruch Hu, divine mercy, that Hashem should take the din and let Rachamim take the din and mellow the level of din against the world at large. What's interesting, Chazal point out that God being called the Melech and the din of Hashem as the Melech taking place is an important functionality. Why? Because unlike judges in courts going up from the Sanhedrin of God all the way down have to paskin their din based upon rigid rules and regulations which are set out by the Gemaras and the Shulchan Aruch, they can't pervert din, they can't change the din. That's when a shofet, a judge, a human judge, has to execute mishpat. But when a melech executes judgment, he has special divine permissibilities, even a human king, to show rachamim bedin, flexibility to change the stringency of the judgment, and to use midas rachamim in toning down the judgment if the king feels that's the direct path to take. Therefore, by saying Hashem is undergoing, becoming our melech again and doing judgment, gives us hope that a mishpat ha-melech can be done in a merciful fashion. Hashem, when he sees us doing tshuva, can change the din in Shemaim against us. We have time to repent. It's called the Aseres and Metshuva. Dear Shabbat Himatza, it's the time of year that Hashem draws himself closer to the peoples of our world to allow them to have an ability to appeal to Hashem, to let them do tshuva properly, to do a tshuva mi'ava, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love of Hashem, out of fear of Hashem, to change our ways. So therefore, he's a melech who's being oisik b'din, and the blowing of the shofar reminds us of this concept. Another purpose of shofar, to remember the shofar that was blown on the Zman of Matan Torah. When we said Nasa Vanishma, we were makabah upon ourselves, O Macha Shemayim, and O Torah of Mitzvahs, to once again rededicate ourselves like by Matan Torah on the day of Rosh Hashanah, to once again be makabah upon ourselves, full Malchus Shemayim, and full acceptance of all of Torah and Mitzvahs that we accepted then. We recreate the Maimon Har Sinai experience by blowing the shofar, the way the shofar blew in the backdrop of Matan Torah. The fourth reason for blowing the shofar, to arouse in us a feeling of fear and trepidation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, Hayitok HaShofar Be'ir of Amlach Yardu, if a shofar is blown in the city, which represents potential warfare about to take place, potential harm about to take place, people literally freeze up with fear and trepidation. When we hear the shofar, it's supposed to arouse in us a feeling of fear and trepidation that Dinei Shemayim are about to take place. Hashem and the Bezno Shemal are valuing each and every one of us, one at a time, as the Mishnah says, in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. And if that's the case, we have to, while hearing the shofar, show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are aware of our failings in this world, and therefore arouse ourselves to go to process of introspection, and therefore analyze what we've done in the past, and show charata for anything we violated, and a desire to rectify ourselves, and aziva sachet, to forsake the sin, and make kabbalos to do better in the future. The shofar arouses in us the feeling to have this process of introspection and realize we're in a dangerous time. Chazal point out that the shofar blows a tekiah, and in the middle there is a truah or shvarim, and then ends with a tekiah. What is the symbolism of this tekiah, truah shvarim tekiah format of the blowing of the kolos of the shofar? So the Balei Kabbalah point out, a tekiah represents a straight line, a concept of yashrus, a concept of kedusha v'tahara, that we as Klal Yisrael possess from the time of our creation. The Truah Shvarim represents that sometimes this straight line of our spirituality is broken by chatoim, by sins, by spiritual rebellion, large or small, and we're broken into fragments. Our spiritual personality is fragmented. It is broken by the contamination and destructiveness of sin that takes place. The Shvarim and Truah is representing crying to Hashem, ay, 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 what did I do? Look at the infractions I committed this past year against Hashem and His Torah. But the Tekiyah Achrona then says, but don't lose all hope. With Hashem's help, Abolat Hashem Asayinu, so we can become a Tekiyah again. We can renew our total spirituality and purity, if that's our desire. So the way the shofar is blown with the signals that it gives us explains to us the power of the tshuva process. We were a tekiah when we were created. During our lifetime, sometimes we become a truah and a shvarim, broken in our spirituality. But we have hope we can do a tekiah again and become tar v'kadosh as if we never sinned before. So therefore, the shofar gives us a power of introspection. What our power is to correct things which we did incorrectly in the past years of our life, and specifically in the past year of this past year of our life. Now, as we continue, when you add the shofar blowing into the actual Nusach HaTfilah that we recite during Musaf, because we divide the 100 kolos, some are blown, as I pointed out, before the Shemoneh Esrei, to start giving us the concepts that I mentioned in the first four factors up until now. When you have shofar blown during the Shemoneh Esrei, what this basically tells us is that we are now with the shofar and the power of the shofar, where we're davening words of the Shemoneh Esrei. The shofar also is a form of prayer. A prayer that comes from the inner resources of our human personality. It comes from that pinta l'yid, the purity of the neshama of a Jew, who even if they sin, that there's a little bit of purity left from the purity of our soul, the neshama that Hashem gives us at the time of our creation. Mimamakim karich sicha Hashem, as we say in the tefillahs we recite at the time of the tekiyos. We call out and pray to Hashem from the depths of our heart to help us when it comes to returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, our salvation, my Rebbe used to say that the Tekiyas HaShofar as a Zichra and Teruah is a form of prayer, a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just any type of prayer, but the Gemara says that the actual Shofar has to be made from a ram's horn, whose basic horns are curved, that we should humble ourselves and realize that we are fallible human beings. We can make mistakes, physical and spiritual mistakes. And therefore we have to humble ourselves and be willing to bow our heads in front of God and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I want to correct myself. Many people, when they clap al-chait, bow down to show a humbling of themselves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many people, when they say the Shemoneh Esrei themselves, are bowing down to show a sense of humility. So the way the shofar is shaped in its physical form connotes the concept of humility. The sounds of the shofar I pointed out represent the hashkafa of tekiah, truah, shvarim, tekiah, which I just mentioned above. But the power of shofar as a tefillah, representing the purity of our soul to try to return to Hashem and refresh itself and replenish itself. The Gemara says, when they blew the shofar, the shofar was not just blown in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. It was not only blown in the direction of the Kodesh of the Beis HaMikdash, but the sound of the shofar is as if the shofar is entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and literally the sounds of the shofar call from all over the world connect together on Rosh Hashanah, go to Yerushalayim, go to the Makam HaMikdash, go to the place where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, and from there these kolos are Ola as a pure tefillah, Lefnei the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way the Gemara explains that Tiyashof is like Kilif Nimdami, like the Kohen going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and doing the Avedos of Zrikas Adam and the Avedos of Haktara of the Kataris Lefnei Lefnim. The power of the Shofar is a tefillah, like the Kohen makes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's how powerful the Tekiyas HaShofar is. And therefore, we have to realize how choshev it is to blow the Shofar. And that the person who's blowing it has to be a spiritual person with the same spiritual qualities that a Shliach Tzibur has to have when it comes to their spiritual level to be the Shliach Tzibur representative of Klal Yisrael on this holy Yom Kodesh of Rosh Hashanah. But another major fact of the shofar is that it is a zechira of the Akedas Yitzchak, of the Nesayon of Akedas Yitzchak. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that when we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, tiku lefane b'shofar she'ayel, we should use a ram's horn, kedei she'ezko lechem, that I shall remember for you on Rosh Hashanah the concept of Akedas Yitzchak ben Avraham. And when I think about what your ancestors were willing to do, l'kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Avram was willing to do, what Yitzchak was willing to do, Malni Aleichem Kilo Akadim Atzal Fanai, I consider as if you yourself went through the Akedas Yitzchak Nesayon in your time period, even though what we're talking about is a thing that happened thousands of years ago. So Chazal explained that the Akedas Yitzchak and the Nesayon of Avram and Yitzchak was a very, very powerful, powerful Nesayon. It was the most powerful of all the Nisyonos that Avram and Yitzchak were confronted with in the Nisyonos they experienced during their lifetime. Avram was told to slaughter his bin chida shahavta, his most beloved possession, his most beloved child, as a sacrifice to God. Yitzchak was a willing participant and told Avram to tie him up. When he was about to put him on the altar he erected in HaMoriah, so he shouldn't flinch and be willing to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem if that's what Hashem wants him to do. Their format of Avedas Hashem, Chazal says, was not the regular level of just regular Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem. The Chazal say, Ato Yudati Ki Yer Elokim Ata, when Hashem stopped Avram and Yitzhak from human slaughter and substituted the isle, the ram instead to be the offering being given, that isle which represented Yitzchak's shechita, but was in place of Yitzchak, that Akedas Yitzchak and the ram that was used, where the ram's horn is what we blow with, is commemorating what Chazal say, the Yiras HaRomamus of Avram and Yitzchak. The level of their fear, not just fear, but the level of their perception of tremendous posture, of incredible awe and incredible love they had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They realized the greatness, the Romamus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how great and manifest who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and the manifestation of what Hashem represents in the universe at large, and who he is as a melech, and who he is in his knowledge and control of what's going on, and who he is in his omniscience and his divine powers to have the whole magnificent universe that he created function as it does every day of the year, 365 days a year, 24/7, all under the control of Hashem, Shemechadish B'chol Yom Tamid Maaseh Bereishis, as we recite this each and every day in the Birchas of Kriya Shema. They showed the Yiras HaRomamus, and since there are forefathers, the genetics that were given to Klal Yisrael were genetics we inherited from the Avos, from Avram, Yisuf, and Yaakov. Their Yiras Hashem, their Yiras HaRomamus, their Avas Hashem, and the Yisromus of Hashem is part of our genetic makeup as well. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, realize Hashem the potential we have from Yerusha's Avos, demonstrated by the power of that specific Nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak. We read it as the Kriya Satira on the second day of Rosh Hashanah to bring to our heart and mind the realization who we came from. If you know where you came from within this world, Ma'ayim Bas, Lana Kaholek, you know therefore your potential of what you can do in the future, what spiritual levels you can reach in your connection spiritually with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to die of a life of Kiddush Hashem, but to live a life of Kiddush Hashem every day of your life, as the Avos V'Imos did during their respective lifetime. Therefore, we see when it comes to the power of this specific shofar that we blow, we see the incredible power it gives us in expressing ourselves and basically connecting to the Rabbanu Shalom, etc., etc. We see the power we have when it comes to actually our experiencing the experience of the Rosh Hashanah day. I want to mention as well that the shofar, when we blow it, is the zikaron to the Shofar Gadol that's going to be the shofar we hear when the ultimate redemption takes place. It's going to be the shofar that is going to be the bugle that literally shows the mitzvah and the concept of the Binyan Beis Hamikdash taking place once again. It's going to announce that the Chiyas HaMeisim we're going to witness and experience in that Tekufa. When the Shofar HaGadol is blown, the Satan and all the enemy forces in Shemayim of the Umas Olam have fear and trepidation, because Hashem promised when that Shofar HaGadol is blown, they'll all be obliterated and destroyed. The world itself will only have nations that are favorable and supportive of Klal Yisrael. The ones who are against us and want to destroy us and literally obliterate us and our Torah will no longer exist. The world will be eradicated from anti-Semitism. Amalech Esmacha Emcha, I'm going to eradicate it. It will no longer exist on the face of this earth. And therefore we'll have a world without Shibat HaMalchias. Claudius will be able to reach the pinnacle of the spiritual activity we're supposed to accomplish in our lifetimes as a nation. The whole world will be different in the Olam Haba we're going to experience once we have the Geula take place and all the facets of Geula actualized, as is mentioned by the Holy Nevi'im in the Sifri Nevuah. We therefore see that the Rosh Hashanah is a tremendous Yom Tov, tremendous concepts of who we are and our relationship to Hashem and Hashem's relationship to us and the universe in which we live. The Tfilas of Rosh Hashanah are special and unique in what they're coming to teach us as we read these Tfilos. The Shofar plays a major part in highlighting the concepts and the Yesodavs of what we're saying with our lips and davening. And the Shofar is the most powerful part of our Tfilah because it enters and goes towards Eretz Yisrael. No matter where we live on the face of this earth, the Kolos of our Shofros, thousands and thousands of Shofros, join together and go to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh, even today. And they come to the Mokum HaMikdash even today. And they go to the spot where the Kodesh HaKadoshim used to be, that still is there to this very day. And they go from there to the base, HaMikdash Shalmaila, to the Kisa Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's therefore prepare ourselves and realize that this is a very serious Yom Tov. Our mood swings have to be serious. Our behavior has to be serious. We have to have good wishes and brachos for all our fellow Jew and Jewesses on the face of this earth. We have to be mochel people with mechila gemura, if God forbid they hurt our feelings during this past year. And ask them to be mochel us. And ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mochel us and forgive us for the transgressions we might have tried to perform this past year. And to give us a new lease on life, to live a brand new year with Torah as our ikar of our actions, learning and practicing Torah, and loving and doing avodas Hashem each and every day, be mekadesh shem shemayim. That's our aspiration, the purpose of the tefilos. We say shifti bebeishu kolim mechayai. We say in that tefillah, which is added in during the tefilos we have during this period of time, we should sit in the house of HaKadosh Baruch all the days of our life, even if we're not physically in the Beis HaMedrash or in a shul or the Beis HaMikdash. That feeling of awe, of shifti bebeishu fnei Hashem, in front of Hashem, we should take it with us no matter where we are on the face of this earth. We should feel shavis Hashem lenegdi tamid every minute of our life. This is the purpose of the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. Let's hope and pray that when we daven and do the avodah we do in our davening on Rosh Hashanah, that we act accordingly and we behave accordingly, and that should set the template, the example of how we should conduct ourselves the year that's going to come before us. B'shotov mitzlachas. I want to wish all my tamidim and tamidos a ksiva v'chasim b'tova for a psak of Hashem in Shemayim, la'alta l'chaim tovim, for a happy and healthy life for ourselves, our mishpach, for this coming year, to be zoichet to see niflos, the miracles Hashem promised us in the Nevi'im, and the gulas and the redemption of the Mashiach take place with the binyan beis hamikdash. Wishing everybody a Shana Tova Masuka with the Ksiva Ksiva Taifa, or Cholim Shav the Refuas in Yeshua's, and Lashana Haba Yeshlaim HaBenuya. Let's wait and see till the ultimate Gula taking place. And Lashana Haba, we should do all our activities and all our learning and everything we desire in the context of Eretzo, Bechvadenu, Ubi Atzmenu, and Bizoch for all the Brachas, Aksuvis Betaira, and the Gavenshniyot to everybody.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.